And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Do you have any other questions for us before we get going?
Nope. I'm good to go.
Just ready to dive into the fire?
Yeah.
That's the metaphor that we want to use for our guests.
Put them at ease, or maybe ill at ease.
Yeah. Are you ready for some third-degree burns? Let's do this.
Have you given up on life? Yes, let's record.
Cue the music.
How to respond to that. Does that say more about me or your other guests?
Yes.
We've had some fun guests.
Okay, we've had cool. We've had some wonderful English as a second language guests.
And those are the Americans we've had on. Oh, what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
And I'm Pappy.
And this is SML Podcast, episode 151. We are over that 150 hump, so what better thing to do than get right back to interviews? Because I don't want to have small talk with Pappy.
Oh, God forbid.
Oh, and even better, Chris isn't here. So for Christmas, he actually got me something for the podcast to make up for the days he's not here. And I have it with me, and I'm about to turn it on. And I'm probably scare the guest into wondering why they came on, but an electronic clapping monkey.
Is this our official fourth host?
So yeah, that's Chris. Chris is here. Anyway, our actual guest this week, calling all the way from Finland, which I believe might be a first for our show. I think Finland, this might be our first Finn.
Yeah, so, we still got a lot of Scandinavian countries to cover.
We're trying. We're working on it. So would you like to introduce yourself to us? Tell us who you are and what you do.
Right. So, okay. Hi, guys. My name is Aki, and I'm the lead designer and founder and coffee maker and all-round dude at Virtual Air Guitar Company. And we make games. We make camera and motion games, mostly for Kinect on Xbox One and Xbox 360. And but we've kind of been doing all sorts of motion games for the 10 years that our company has been alive. Right now, we're enjoying the freedom of making indie games in the ID at Xbox program.
Nice. And your recent game just came out this week is Beatsplosion, correct?
Yep, that's right.
For those who don't know what Beatsplosion is, do you want to give us the sales pitch on it?
So Beatsplosion is kind of a blend between exercise and combat and rhythm game. And it has ninjas. At least you're a ninja.
A beat ninja.
Yes, that's right.
It's all about that timing.
Seriously. I think I just spent, I don't know, an hour and a half this morning playing some of the games that you've released. And I am incredibly sweaty and out of breath after playing Beatsplosion. Because
yeah, but you're sweating out of breath after using the bathroom, so...
True, I was going to say, I am not what you would call a fit person.
No, I was actually enjoying, I was playing Beatsplosion a couple of times in the last week, and yeah, it's a fun game. You know, the only part that hurt me was the jumping and crouching.
Oh God, the jumping.
I was like, oh yeah, I have old man knees at 34. This is going to be, yep. no, actually, I've been enjoying the game. It's a nice, simple thing. I'm actually one question I want to ask you, is this released for just the Xbox One or is it also for the 360?
No, it's just on the Xbox One.
Okay.
I'm afraid indie games aren't available for the 360.
I mean, that makes sense. I was kind of hoping it was, though, because I've got some friends who have three kids, and I'm like, this game would actually keep everyone happy, especially the parents.
Oh, imagine cool. All the jumping by the children.
Yes, but while they were jumping, they wouldn't be destroying things.
Exactly. I mean, kids have this huge amount of energy that they need to expend on something, and what better way to do that
than being a ninja?
And on the flip side, I do not have a large amount of energy. I have a large amount of stomach.
Moving that mass.
I have to say, today was the second day that I played it. The first day I played it, I put in maybe 10, 15 minutes, and I was winded. I was out of breath. The next day rolled around. My arms hurt. My sides hurt. I feel like I was just punched repeatedly. And then I took that day off, and then I played again today, and I think I went over a half hour, and I might play more later on. So
mission accomplished.
You are limbering this fat ass up quite a bit.
Was it an intention to kind of make exercise fun, or is it just, hey, we like the interactivity of the Kinect, let's just do something?
Well, I guess it's both, a bit of both. Yeah. Our two previous games for Xbox One, Boom Ball and Squid Hero, have been, you know, less intensive in terms of how physical they are. And this time we wanted to do something that's a bit more like our 360 game Kung Fu High Impact, to really get your sweat on.
Okay.
And it kind of made sense when we figured out that we need to release a game for the holidays. So something to burn off that Christmas turkey was definitely in the back of the mind when we were doing this design for this game. But you know, it's not a fitness game in the sense that a lot of fitness games seem to be aimed at fit people. We don't want to do that. Like, we don't want to feel like you're going to the gym, like, or anything like that. We just want to make a great game that also accidentally gets you into shape.
No, hey, mission accomplished. I mean, between that and me playing drums on Rock Band, I've probably been doing more exercise this week than I usually do during my vacation. That's for dang sure.
Cool.
Haha, you're fat too, Pappy.
Compared to you, man, I'm skinny boy.
Compared to me, you're anorexic, but
yeah.
Hey,
no,
it's
been a lot
trying.
Of fun. I found, though, is I liked the warning that you guys had at the beginning of the game about the delay and how if your TV has a like a gaming mode or dynamic mode to switch to that. My TV does not. So I not only got the fun of playing the game itself, but I also had to, in the back of my mind, move like just a quarter of a second early for everything. So instead of moving on the beat, I'm actually jumping the beat.
I was actually going to ask, are there any plans to possibly add a patch to the game that lets people calibrate the audio delay in the game?
Yeah, we actually, that was on our design list in the beginning, but it's kind of hard to do when you don't have a button to push.
Yeah,
you know, with games like Guitar Hero, you need that button press to calibrate the milliseconds exactly. With Kinect, it's a lot more difficult, since you don't have any way of really doing precision timing. So it's basically just choose one of these numbers, and does it feel any better? It's kind of a vague thing.
Yeah, because I play a lot of Rock Band and I play a lot of Guitar Hero, so I have plenty of experience with having to manually calibrate when the whole like strumming at the beat doesn't really line up and doing the manual adjustments. And my TV does have a game mode, but even still, I'll be playing it and I'll think like, I'm pretty sure I punched that on time and it's telling me I'm very late. So either I'm slower than I imagine, which is
yes,
very, very possible, or it's, I still just need, hoping that there was some way to just adjust the calibration a little bit, but I can understand why it wouldn't be as easy to do as something where you can just strum to a beat.
There's actually a trick to hitting on time, because since the crystals are coming towards you, or you're moving forward towards the crystals, the direction where you punch matters. So if you punch straight forward, straight ahead, your fist will connect with the crystal earlier. Whereas if you punch sideways, then your fist will be hitting late.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed that as well, because when I first started, I was just kind of like doing like side swiping punches, or like punching out to the side instead of forward. Yeah. And as I played more, I realized, oh, I can't just like wave my arm to the side. I actually have to punch these things.
Yeah. Punch. And the best way to, you know, remain on time when you have these wide levels where you have to, where you can't just punch forward, the best way to deal with those is to lean sideways and punch forward.
Joe, your new mic is picking up all the noises.
Dude, my mic picks up everything all the time.
I don't know if you're eating a bag of chips, like the actual bag, or what, but there's some crinkling noises going on over there every few seconds.
Well, again, you can only hear the mic on the iPad. You're not hearing my actual mic. But yes, I have gummies.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I'm hearing. Okay.
Let me hold them closer to my mic.
Yeah, it's like you think you're being sneaky, but you're not.
Damn it, no, I want gummies. Can you fax me one?
Let me take a picture.
I got a scanner. Yeah, I can scan and fax a picture of a gummy.
Pixel gummies.
Let's see. Camera.
You're going to actually take a photo of the gummy.
Why the hell not?
Well, at least now we have our header image for the show. But sorry to interrupt there. I was just being driven slowly insane by Jeff's gummy bears.
They're not gummy bears. They're gummy fruit. Tropical fruit.
Sorry.
There you go. Sent the picture. So you guys should have it now.
Yeah, you really did send the picture of, yep, there they are.
What, you think I'm going to lie to you on the podcast?
Yes.
Oh, that looks delicious.
Oh, they're so good.
So, virtual gummies. Mm. I'll just pretend that I'm eating one.
If you didn't live in Finland, I would offer to mail some to you, but I'm not sure what the shipping costs would be on sending gummies to Finland.
How do you think? A friend of mine actually once tried to mail me some Oreos because we didn't used to have them in Finland.
You didn't have Oreos?
Oreos, we do now.
Okay.
At that time, mailing one packet of Oreos would have cost $65.
Holy crap.
Still worth it somehow. Still worth it.
I don't know. Those would have to be some delicious gold-plated Oreos.
We actually have these cookies called Domino's, which came out in Finland 1 year later. And Oreos first appeared in the States. They're like basically a clone, but with a bit less sugar.
Yeah.
So I've been eating those all my life. When I first tasted Oreos, I was like, God, why is there so much sugar in these?
Because they're good. Yeah, because America. I'm surprised that they don't find a way to have grease inside Oreos.
Okay. I eat enough of
them. Deep fry them.
Yeah.
True. Again, yeah. America.
Oh, I still feel bad. I took a friend to the fair a couple months ago, and they had chocolate dipped fried bacon, and it made them violently ill.
Chocolate dipped and fried bacon.
Yeah. Like they fried the bacon, then dipped it in chocolate. And it made them ill.
I can see why.
I had to pull over twice for them to throw their cookies out the door.
So what kind of insane foods do you have in Finland?
Oh. You're going to wish you didn't ask that.
You guys don't have the lutefisk. Is that Finnish as well?
Yeah, that's a classic Finnish Christmas dish. The name is actually Norwegian.
Okay.
We call it Lippeakala.
Oh, yeah, that's much easier to say.
Can you spell that for us?
No. So I don't actually like that.
Well, which is fair, because I've heard it described as opening a can of 6-week-old wet socks that have been left to mold.
Delicious.
Yeah. Cold smoked salmon, that's good.
It's okay.
Like, yeah. Like the non-evil twin of lutefisk.
The non-evil twin. It's the one that doesn't have the goatee.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So now that my one other co-host, I can hear him walking in the door, he had a question for you, completely changing the subject from weird European dishes. But being in Finland, he wants to know, what is your favorite metal band? Because you live in Finland, so you obviously need to be a fan of metal music.
Oh, that's a tough question. Because I'm not actually a fan of metal.
Oh, he's going to cry.
Yes.
He's not but, a fan of metal.
No. If I had to pick one, I'd go with Arion. You know, the Dutch band.
Oh, okay.
So that's just him. He's the music guy of our show, so he always does that.
Every time he gets hyped to ask a music question, the guest we have on is always like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. So it's pretty much fantastic.
It makes me so happy when his questions are just like, I'm not a fan of that. And
he's always asking our Canadian
fans. Yeah,
I'm
more of a prog rock guy myself, really.
Yeah. He's always asking our Canadian guests about a particular band, and none of them have heard of the
band
yet.
Oh, Big Wreck.
Oh, you know, because I'm a big fan of Rush.
Oh, there you go.
Close enough.
Yeah, I love everything about Rush except for their singer.
I can see why.
I don't like having my ears pierced by needles every time I listen to a song.
It's kind of an acquired taste.
Ah, video games.
So, how long have you said that your company's been around? Been doing these games pretty much as long as motion capture technology existed, huh?
Yeah, that's actually pretty correct. The company was founded in 2006, so we'll be 10 years old come February. And
happy
we were
birthday.
Actually doing some research at the university even before that. So that was before there was Kinect or PSI, and the iToy, PlayStation iToy, had just come out around those times. It was really the first time that real-time motion capture was starting to become possible on consumer electronics. You no longer needed to have like this huge multi-$1,000 setup in a room to do motion capture.
I remember playing some of those when I was a kid, though, when you had to get into this big rig to do like the 3D interactive experiences.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. Slap a polygon, you know, that was the special effects.
I owned an iToy. I'll say it. I owned an iToy. I was one of the few who saw the cool enjoyment stuff out of it. And since we had Harmonix on recently and we're going to have them on later today, I owned Antigrav as well, and I was terrible at that as well because I have always been bad at games that I need to physically move.
You know, I remember Antigrav. That was really one of the best games for the iToy.
Yeah, it wasn't like there was a good lineup of iToy games out there. It was kind of a shit show when you look at it.
But, well, you know, it was a forerunner.
Yeah, yeah. A little early for its time. People hadn't quite grasped onto it yet.
Yeah.
And then it moved to the Kinect. And while it's still not the best piece of tech out there, I think there were definitely a handful of cool Kinect games out there.
Yeah, and Kinect was like this... a lot of gamers don't know about this, but... before Kinect came along, all kinds of motion capture research in the academic world was done still with these devices that cost tens of thousands. Kinect was the first piece of technology that brought, you know, depth cameras in the consumer price range, because Microsoft wanted to push it out to as many people as possible. They had the economies of scale on their side because they were manufacturing so many units that it was now possible to actually just pick it up off the store shelf. It was a huge boon for the academic world.
Oh, yeah, I believe it. And I know that they've been using 3D technology and interactive technology for stuff even like medicine and surgery, which is pretty cool. To know that the same thing I'm using to, you know, punch gems is being used to make someone a better surgeon. It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
I'm just slapping gems to do surgery.
Well, hopefully not the exact same game necessarily. But, hey, if it helps their reaction time, then...
I can't find their spleen. It's trapped in a Candy Crush puzzle. Quick. Needs to come out. Stat.
Yeah, there we go. That's medical.
So what titles have you worked on for the original 360 Kinect? I know you mentioned, what was it, Kung Fu High Impact?
Yeah, that's our only title for the 360.
And what was that game about? That was one of the few Kinect games I actually didn't get to pick up. I've tried a bunch of them, but that was never one that just crossed my path at the time.
So Kung Fu High Impact is it's like this 2D beat-em-up, except you're actually the character inside the game as yourself. Your actual video image is placed into the game world. So you're actually fighting these awesome 70s kung fu comic bad guys with real kicks and real punches, and all of your movements are exaggerated. So when you jump 5 centimeters at home, you jump 5 meters in the game. And you had all these cool superpowers that you could activate, like ground shakers and power punches and shooting lightning out of your fingertips.
I do that at home. That's how I keep my electricity bill down.
You're the worst. what was the reception to that game? How did that? Did it go over well with Kinect owners?
Yeah, it was. Some people loved it. Some people hated it, which I think is a pretty great accomplishment. You never want to have a lukewarm reception.
Yeah, it's better to have someone be like, this is amazing, and a friend to be like, you're stupid, than to people just look at it and go like, hey, that exists.
Nothing is truly popular until somebody hates it.
Exactly, yeah.
Except for our show. We are not popular, but plenty of people hate us.
Way to bring it down, Joe.
I have to. It's our show.
I'm not awake enough to handle you.
So yeah, Kung Fu High Impact was it was released in the time when the Kinect hate in the media was, you know, kind of at its peak. There was still this old generation of video game reviewers who really didn't get what Kinect was about. The new one hadn't come yet, and it was kind of fashionable to bash Kinect and everything connected to it.
So which doesn't make sense, because you know it's a technology. I mean, if you don't get the technology, I don't think you have the right to review it.
Yeah. And it sucks because I think a lot of that mindset still exists where people hear, oh, it's a Kinect title, and they immediately just shit all over it without ever seeing it or playing it or knowing what it is in general.
If you have kids, I mean, you don't have to understand the Kinect. If you have children and they have energy, get a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, whenever we see kids playing some of our games, it's just this, you know, absolutely great experience to see someone who's just comes up to your knee and they're just jumping around in pure glee.
Yeah. I mean, I saw the fun in Beatsplosion. I mean, I was enjoying it, but oh, hell yeah. If I were like 8 years old, that would have been just amazing to play.
And a lot of old school gamers are now starting to be the age where they have their kids of their own, and they want to share these video game experiences with their kids, but maybe they don't really know anything else than Call of Duty or Doom or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you really want to share that with your kids, or do you want to, you know, have some actual physical activity together with them?
Yeah, children are psychopaths. You don't want to teach them how to fire weapons that young.
And we were children, so we know that kids are psychopaths.
Well, and exactly. That's the other thing. Like, I'm honestly excited for the next level of technology, like the Oculus Rift and stuff. But if I have a 6-year-old at home, I'm not giving him the Oculus Rift to play with.
Right.
You know, here,
what,
have
what,
have
you
a
don't
game.
Want to throw away $500 in 20 minutes?
No. That's
but
not,
you
not
live
my
in Vegas.
I gamble with $20 at a time.
Vegas is built around throwing away $500 in 20 minutes.
That's why I don't get along.
The great thing about Kinect is that you can't break it while playing because you don't have any controllers. It's just you in front of the camera.
Yeah,
so
it's
there's
even better
no
than
way
the...
to break anything. And whenever we design our games for Kinect, we try to always focus on the fact that no matter what you do, the game shouldn't break or do something unexpected. Everything you do should be somehow incorporated into the game.
Yeah, no, I have yet to crash the game, so I got to give you credit for that, because I'm usually really good at finding the problems.
Cool.
And most of the time, Pappy is the problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't have to look too far.
I just plays the game and he trips and falls into the TV. Oops. I did it again.
Yeah, safety zones are a fairly good idea to have.
Oh, yeah, no, I have enough of free space in my living room to set up a circus tent, so I don't have a problem with that free space thing. It's actually pretty nice.
I don't. Mine is kind of constricted, so, like, I have to slide the table all the way off to the side. Every now and then I'm still, like, punching the couch a few times when I'm swinging my arm around.
I actually enjoy your game. I think it's got a better sense of the area around me than the exercise stuff that I do on the Kinect, because with yours I had no problem, you know, the punching, jumping, crouching, all of that stuff. But if I stood in the same place to do one of my workouts, somehow it would be like, oh, you're too high, we can't see your feet. It's like, are you serious, Kinect?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm 15 feet away. Like, you should have no problem seeing all things.
Yes, I just think some games aren't programmed well to use the self-adjusting camera to zoom where it needs to and get whatever
and what
image
it
needs to.
I think, like, I did this dance workout one, and I'm pretty sure that it just fixed the camera on a point and left it there. Like, and it's having me slide to the left and, you know, jump to the right and all of this ridiculousness, and then it's like, oh, you're out of frame. Like, I am not out of frame, you asshole.
But having the camera track you requires additional programming, and we're lazy. Buy the sequel next year.
Oh, well, and that's what it is, honestly. I think the workout ones are definitely for take... I mean, they're great, but to an extent, yeah, I think some of them just take advantage of, like, hey, there's people who'd rather work out in their home than go pay for a gym membership. Let's just throw up a video of an exercise and then turn the Kinect on and call it a day, you know.
There's no actual gameplay. They just turn the camera on and then that's it. They don't pro it
it's
just...
pretty hilarious. No, because you get gamer points and everything. Like, you have, just like any other game, you have unlocks and you beat these scores and all of that. And the only thing I'm proud of is that I'm consistently getting a higher score than the average 25 to 40 year old men category, or whatever the hell category I'm in.
So your category.
Yeah, whatever my age category is, I'm consistently slightly more in shape than the average Kinect user.
Well, it is America. The average Kinect using video game player is probably looks like me.
Yeah, so oh well then I'm no, they got to be a little fitter because my score is not that much better.
So what are your thoughts on the current usage of the Kinect on the Xbox One? Like, recently, what was it, a year ago, they completely unbundled it from the console with the new, and was it the new Xbox experience, where they redesigned the dashboard. They completely removed Kinect gestures for controlling the system. Do you think Microsoft is doing everything they can to just completely ignore that it exists?
Oh, well, that's kind of a complicated question, because I don't really disagree with the choices Microsoft made with the unbundling or removing the gesture from NXOE. In a sense, I mean, if Kinect had been bundled, I can't say I'm happy about the unbundling as a motion game developer, but If they hadn't unbundled it, it would have been a more expensive console, and we may not have as big a spread of Kinect, of the console itself all around the world as it is now. And they've just brought down the price for the standalone Kinect. So now that there's an established base of users who have Xbox Ones, and now there's a better selection of Kinect games available, I believe the standalone Kinect can do pretty well, actually. And what comes to the user interface, I actually felt that the original interface was kind of designed, had this kind of dual focus, and they had to always think of ways to support the Kinect, so they couldn't make choices that work well with the gamepad. And on the other hand, they also had to support the gamepad, so they couldn't make choices that would work well on the Kinect. So removing Kinect support lets them to design the interface work much better with the gamepad.
I can't deny that. Now that I've finally gotten used to the new interface, it definitely flows a little better.
Yeah, I don't really mourn the loss of the gesture control. It's something I personally never used. I have seen people complain that they removed it. A lot of them think like you could have just left it optional for the small percentage of us who did use it and who did find it convenient. I don't know if completely removing it was the best solution. I just feel that ever since the whole backlash about the Kinect being included, it just feels like nobody outside of a handful of developers cares about the peripheral anymore, which I think is a bummer, because I from the beginning, I thought the inclusion of the Kinect was their way to push this as a true next generation experience and not just a prettier 360. Like, honestly, like, I feel the PlayStation 4 is just a prettier PlayStation 3. It seemed like Microsoft really wanted this to stand on its own.
I thought the PlayStation 4 was a warmer PlayStation 3.
And louder.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, I do agree that while individually those choices regarding Kinect have made sense from business perspective or interface design perspective, the kind of message that they're giving is that Kinect is being sort of pushed away. But I don't think the right choice is to bring those back. I think the right choice would be to sort of improve the visibility of Kinect in the Xbox One store and to make people more aware of what Kinect is and if they might enjoy stuff for Kinect. They don't have a Kinect category in the Xbox One store at all.
I was going to say, do you think that that's something they should look into, is having a section of the store dedicated solely to Kinect releases?
Definitely, yeah. And, well, there's always a danger that that's going to be the place that people are going to ignore.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these games are in this Kinect ghetto, and we don't have to look at them ever again. That's kind of the flip side.
The Kinect ghetto. The Kinecto.
Yeah. And yeah, that's a definite danger. But if Kinect was, you know, brought up in the normal featuring of the of store games, that would be really valuable. Not just for us Kinect developers, but for the console entirely, because there's no way you can search for Kinect titles really in the store, and those Kinect titles that are there, they just get, you know, lost entirely.
Is that part of the reason why all your game titles seem to include for Kinect in the game title?
Yeah, it is.
Just so someone doesn't buy it and then get angry that they don't have a Kinect.
This game, Beat Explosion for Kinect, doesn't work without a Kinect. This is bullshit. How would I ever know that?
It's also there so that those who actually like Kinect games can search the store for the keyword Kinect and find all of our games.
Yeah, I'm constantly seeing people on Reddit asking, hey, I just got an Xbox One and I picked up the Kinect. What kind of good Kinect games are out there? And I'm always like, it sucks trying to remember all the good Kinect games out there, but I'm always mentioning Beatball and Squid Hero, and now I'm going, or Boomball, sorry. And now I'm definitely going to be mentioning Beat Splosion as well. I'm always tossing out Disney's Fantasia, Dance Central. It's just a shame that there aren't that many really good Kinect games to talk about, because it seems everybody wants to get away from it. And has such a push away from the Kinect ever made you and your company consider maybe we should just look at normal games? Or has that just made you want to work even harder to put out good, worthwhile Kinect games and not just let it die out?
Oh, definitely the latter. I mean, this is our niche now, and this is what we're really great at. This is our strength, and we want to exploit that as much as possible. We didn't really start out as a game developer as such. Like I said, we were doing research in the university, and our original mission, which still holds true, is to create completely novel experiences with new kinds of user interfaces. So games are just a way for us to do that stuff, create those experiences that no one's done before. So, you know, going to normal games, which we probably could, given our experience now, it would be just like, you know, everything we've learned, everything we're good at, would be just throwing all that away.
Have you considered making a kind of controller Kinect hybrid game? When people ask for good Kinect games, one that I always mention is, oh God, what's the full title? Commander Cherry's Puzzle Journey, I think something like that, where most of the gameplay is done with a controller, side-scrolling, platforming, but there's areas where the platforms are gone, and you need to use the Kinect to contort yourself to fit into where the platforms go so that you can not only make it across, but also pick up all the collectibles. Is that something that you guys would be interested in trying?
Yeah, there's another similar game. It's not out yet, but you may have heard about Fru, F-R-U.
No, I haven't.
It kind of has a similar feel to it, except that your silhouette is revealing platforms that aren't visible unless you're standing in front of them. But you're also controlling this little 2D platformer guy with a controller.
That's actually kind of neat.
I am writing that down because I want to check that out. Is that something coming out soon, or?
I don't know. I don't think they've mentioned a release date yet.
Well, we'll have to track them down and see if they'd be interested in coming on to talk about Kinect as well sometime. Because I still firmly stand behind the fact that if you own an Xbox One and you don't own a Kinect, you're missing out on half the experience of the system.
Yeah. So as your original question, if we'd ever consider doing something hybrid, you know, Kung Fu High Impact actually did have a gamepad mode where there was one Kinect player fighting against up to four people controlling enemies with gamepads.
That's really cool. Have you guys ever considered reworking Kung Fu High Impact for the Xbox One?
We are considering it right now, actually.
Nice.
There is a bit of a challenge because the game engine that we used for Kung Fu, Gamebryo, is now defunct. The company went bankrupt.
Yeah.
And, well, it wasn't a very good game engine to begin with, so we have to rewrite it from scratch on Unity. But still, we should be able to keep most of the content.
That'd be good to see. Then that would give me a chance to finally give the game a go, because I have long since sold my 360 Kinect, and at one point I had a Wii sensor bar, a Wii U sensor bar, a 360 Kinect, an Xbox One Kinect, and a PS4 camera all on my TV stand at once. And that shit was getting out of control.
Big Brother was really watching you then.
Oh, God. I think that's one of my favorite complaints is people say that, oh, man, you know Microsoft is just watching you and monitoring everything you do. If they want to watch me play games in my underwear, fuck them. Let them watch me play games in my underwear.
Yeah, why would they be interested in that?
Hey, I got a sexy body. Oh. What can I say?
But yeah, that's really the reason why we want to do Kung Fu High Impact on the One, because a lot of people haven't had the chance to experience it on the 360. And those who did, they may have sold their 360 or their Kinect has broken, or they just it's just not used for gaming anymore. It's in a cupboard somewhere.
And then Microsoft has already said that with the whole backward compatibility program they have going on, no Kinect games are going to be able to be ported over because the technological differences between the original Kinect and the current Kinect.
Yeah, that's right. The camera technology, the hardware is just so different that you can't do an automated process for it.
So have you guys ever considered working with PlayStation and the PlayStation camera, or is the technology there just not as powerful as what the Kinect does?
We actually started out on PS3. Our first game was Kung Fu Live, which was actually the prequel to Kung Fu High Impact.
Huh.
And it used the PlayStation Eye camera for PS3. That was really back when we were truly at the cutting edge of technology, because nobody had done real-time background removal, that's green screening for you. Nobody had done that in real time before. And we had several PhDs working on that technology on the PS3. And then Kinect came along and basically made background removal trivial.
That's like, I got this. I think that's the first time we've ever had a guest on who's just so calmly stated that they had multiple PhDs working on it.
Yeah, that's not something you hear on our show. Normally, it's we had multiple alcoholics working on it, but not PhDs.
Yeah, I had four people over to my basement. We were working 20-hour days. Okay, not we had doctors.
I feel like you are way, like, class-wise, you are so far above our show right now.
Yeah, you're much classier than we are.
I feel bad.
Everybody is a doctor. They're highly overrated.
you're serious, in a company that leads the technological charge, and we're on a podcast that does dick and fart jokes. Something doesn't match up here.
Dick and fart jokes.
We do them very well.
We are. We are pretty good at those dick and fart jokes.
Well, speaking of a crass joke, Joe said I had to ask this question when I pointed it out the other day. did you realize after you made the company that Virtual Air Guitar is an acronym for badge, which is a slang term for female genitalia?
Yes, we were aware of that.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was an accident.
It's such a great name that we just couldn't come up with a better one that wouldn't have had an unfortunate acronym.
Honestly, I like it, though, because you guys are strictly a Kinect team. So, you know, that's the only way that Air Guitar would ever work as a video game.
Yeah, true. I mean, it's a name that makes you ask, makes you stop and think and wonder what's behind the name, because there is a story behind the name.
Do tell.
So back when we were at the university, three guys working on virtual reality and virtual instruments, musical instruments, one of our projects was an air guitar that you could actually play. It was an early application of computer vision. You would wear these orange gardening gloves, which the camera picked up by their color. And the computer software measured the distance between your hands and as well as and detected strumming motions. And there was this physical model of an electric guitar that would produce sounds that sounded like air guitar shredding. It had two modes that you could switch on and off with a foot pedal. One of the modes was a solo. You had five notes in a pentatonic minor scale, and you could do slides and vibratos. And the other mode is chords. We picked five chords And if you play them in the right order, you could play Smoke on the Water on it.
That's just amazing. Five cards,
but they're the right ones.
That's actually really fantastic. I kind of wish I had that game now.
Now I need to know, what is it going to take to get you guys to team up with Harmonix and get some Kinect functionality into Rock Band 4?
Well, I'd be totally up for that.
Because that sounds like some amazing functionality could be added.
It sounds like something to bring up during tonight's interview.
As a very tiny indie team, we don't have the resources to license real rock music, because you can't do an air guitar game with custom music. It needs to be those real rock songs.
Yeah.
And our first project, the virtual air guitar game, was supposed to be this rock star game, a game about being a rock star, not a guitarist, but a rock star. It's the difference between using your fingers to play and using your whole body to perform on a stage. So instead of accurate finger detection, the idea of the virtual air guitar game was to just let it go and do windmills and limbos and jumps. And the prototypes were so intense that they were a better exercise than Kung Fu and Beat Explosion combined.
Wow.
I believe it, though.
Getting judged on your hip gyration.
I've been
seven thrust combo. She's pregnant.
That's actually, I mean, that really sounds like a lot of fun, but it is funny how you mentioned the licensed music thing is, I think it's weird that if you're like, hey guys, I created this thing where you can download it onto your Xbox and create music. And people be like, yeah, that's interesting. But then you're like, hey, I created this thing where you can download it on your Xbox and play Green Day. And people were just lining up to give you money.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm now like super interested in finding a way to get you working with Harmonix to add Kinect functionality. That would be fantastic as a party mode where four people are already playing, but like a fifth or sixth could just stand in front of the Kinect and air guitar it and get extra points that way or something. Or even if it were like to add a performance mode to Rock Band where your actual movements of playing and your stage presence get rated as well.
Yeah.
Or even just the singer has to, you know, pump up the crowd. That'd be really fun.
They can't just stand there and mumble into a microphone.
Well, no, I mean, you put it on the Doors mode.
Funny you should mention generating music, because we also had this freestyle mode where you actually would create music. We never intended it to be the primary attraction, but it was there.
Man, that's really cool. You guys have done some crazy, crazy shit with the technology. I never realized how technologically advanced the Kinect can be, and you're just explaining stuff to us that it just sounds insane.
Well, it's amazing what a bunch of PhDs in a room can do, Joe.
Go figure. Who to thunk? It's like they're smart or something.
A disclaimer, I'm not a PhD.
Yeah,
just a master's degree.
So you only wanted to do 6 years of school, not 10.
I'm not a PhD. The PhDs are below me. I'm beyond PhD at this point.
Well, I mean, now, see, here's the thing, though, is, you know, people point out that, oh, yeah, PhDs, you know, they go to school for 10 years after high school and all that. I'm like, well, I've been going to school for 16 years off after high school, and I almost have my bachelor's now. So does that mean I'm even smarter? That's what happens when you take 6 credits a year.
Good times.
Yeah. I actually took 10 years, too, but that's just because the 3 last years were spent on the actual company.
Hey, I mean, that's a good excuse. I don't have that.
Pappy doesn't have anything.
Yeah, I wasn't running a company. I was just going to work.
I sit at home and play video games.
Hey, why don't you have a PhD yet, Joe?
I don't know. I'm too stupid for that crap.
That's a lie.
Not really.
Just that pause. No, I'm really dumb. Honest, guys.
So Beatsplosion is a rhythm workout exercise punch shit game. I spent some time with Boomball earlier today, which is like first person breakout slash Arkanoid. It actually gave me a lot of memories of Boom Blocks on the Wii. What is Squid Hero? Because I thought I owned it and I went to play it. And apparently I don't own that one, so I'm going to have to fix that later on today.
Okay, so Squid Hero is a story. It's a story of a space squid alien thing who crash lands on the Earth and shatters the Antarctic glacier into little bits and pieces of ice that scatter all around the world, and then he has to clean it up by smashing ice chunks at each other. And he does this by using his squiddy little tentacles, which are controlled by the player's hands. So it's kind of like a game where you... It's a bit like Asteroids, where you have big chunks that you break into smaller chunks, except instead of shooting at them... You use your hands to grab ice chunks and throw them at the big ones.
I am now incredibly pissed off that I don't own this game and I didn't get to play it yet, because that sounds so fun. And the thing I like about all your games is they're all only $10, which I think is awesome, given how many people today are like, oh, well, it's a small indie game from a first-time studio, so we're going to charge $24.99. And it just seems like $10 is such an awesome price point to get a lot of people to take a risk on the game. Has that paid off for you guys, having it only $10 for titles?
Well, we certainly haven't received any negative comments about being too expensive.
It's always good.
That's yeah. Very well put.
And then
I'm willing to give an indie game a chance at any price, as long as I feel like I'm paying for the game. You know, with the newer developers, yeah, sometimes they set the price a little high, and sometimes I wonder if it's like, well, you know, they're trying to get their money back for all their hard work, or maybe they just don't realize the competitiveness of pricing right now, because especially with the ID at Xbox, there's more indie competition right now than ever before.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big problem for first-time indie developers. They spend a lot of work on a game, and they need to recoup their investment somehow. But really, your first game should be pretty small to sort of build up your reputation.
Yeah, get your name out there and be known.
There you go, indie developers. You listening? This is from a guy who's been in the business for a while.
Pappy, no one's listening.
But yeah, definitely the price point has been very carefully thought out, because you know, as we've discussed, there is still a stigma attached to Kinect, and if people see an expensive game that's also a Kinect game, they're gonna go, yeah, I might like that, but it's kind of expensive, maybe I'll just skip it because it's a Kinect game. But if it's $10, it's much more likely to go, just okay, heck, why the hell not? Let me try that. Maybe it's fun, maybe it's not, but at least I've tried it.
Yeah, I know that there's a lot of games that if I see, it's only $10, why not? Let me give it a go. It might be good, might be bad, but it's only $10, and this way I'm giving some money to an indie developer instead of Activision or something like that. And then
right.
For people who still aren't sold and have a Kinect, you have a bundle of Squid Hero and Boomball on sale, normally for $15 for both games, but with the current Xbox winter sale, that's half off to $7.50 right now. So if I'll say that if you guys own a Kinect, buy the fucking bundle.
Yeah, that's a pretty ridiculous sale going on right now. So we just want to get people to love the Kinect more, really.
Because I noticed that when I didn't have Squid Hero, I'm like, oh, how much is it by itself? $9.99. oh, wait, the bundle's on sale. I'll just buy the bundle later on and get both games, even though I already own one. I'm poor. I need to save money. I'd give you the extra $250, but I'm poor. So.
That's enough. Okay. As long as you give us love or connect.
Plenty, plenty. I've given you sweat. That is what you have gotten from me so far.
It's not as nice as love, but it's a much rarer thing for Joe to give.
It is. Except for when I'm eating, then I sweat a lot.
Oh, God.
We really
it's too early in the morning for me to deal with this.
Sweat.
I'm breaking Pappy this morning.
That was your goal. You're succeeding.
Yay. So what is next for Virtual Air Guitar?
Well, we have a huge number of concepts in store. Right now, we're looking at porting Kung Fu High Impact for the Xbox One. But we've also got a host of concepts that, we like to do a lot of prototypes. You never know which idea is going to take off. That's especially true with Kinect. You just can't design motion games on paper. You have to try them out quickly, how they feel. So I'm pretty excited about stealth game or Kinect.
Ooh.
I'm not sure how much I should reveal about it yet because it's still in the concept stage.
Oh, that enough right there is enough to get some people drooling, you know. Stealth games have a very fanatic niche market. So I'm sure that there's going to be people who are going to be really interested just in the concept of an interactive Kinect stealth game.
Yeah. And I was thinking we're probably going to combine it with some classic heist action.
I can just imagine my wife walking in from work. Honey, why are you hiding behind the couch? Shh, I'm playing a game. Don't shut up. Oh, you're going to get me killed. God damn it.
You're going to get me arrested. No.
You know, as much as I love the fitness aspect of Kinect, nobody's done a game for the Kinect where you deliberately have to keep still. And I want to see what kind of a game I can make with that.
That would be interesting. I think the closest I've seen is that PS4 game Until Dawn. They'll have segments where you have to keep the controller still, and it has like a picture of the light on the controller, and if it goes out of the barrier, like the cutscene fails or you get killed or whatever it is.
That one's easy to cheat because you just put the controller down.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But with Kinect, you can't cheat because you can't put yourself down.
Well,
Joe
could.
Puts himself down all the time, but that's more of a self-esteem issue.
I'm fat.
Nah, that's really, really interesting as a concept, and I look forward to getting to try that out here in the future.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be really cool if that's one of your concepts that makes it through to full game stage.
Actually, you could just call it Basic Military Simulator, where you just have to stand at attention for 45 minutes while someone yells at you. And if you move too much, his focus comes to you.
Yeah, and we also have to use Kinect voice commands.
Sir,
sir, yes,
sir.
Sir.
Oh man, you could get Arlie Ermy on the board on the game, and he could just shout.
Yeah, but
and
then it becomes a rated M game immediately.
Yeah, well, if it's being a military stand at attention, it's got to be M rated.
Yeah, as someone who spent a lot of time standing at attention, it's. It would honestly, I would call it the hurry up and wait simulator. That's our phrase in the military. Whenever you got to be somewhere, you know, oh, you have to be there 15 minutes early, but the doctor's running 45 minutes behind.
Life is always fun.
Yeah.
Well, we're creeping up on an hour here. I'm not sure if there's anything else that you wanted to talk about with your game or whatever else you might be working on or have worked on.
Well, since we're talking about concepts, I've got a couple of more that I can share.
By all means.
One of our ideas was to do a side scroller, a kind of a, you know, classic R-type kind of action, except on a surfboard.
Nice.
Ooh. Can I lose my balance and tip over even though I'm only in my living room?
Yes, exactly. Awesome. That's the whole point.
Pappy, you already quit drinking. You can't do that anymore.
You don't tell
and,
me what to do.
The same game could also be, you know, there would also be skateboard sections.
Man, that would be neat. A Kinect-based skateboarding game.
Well, you'd have Chris's attention.
Indeed.
Our third host absolutely loves skate games. The original Tony Hawk's Skate 1, 2, and 3.
Not the new Tony Hawk.
I said the original Tony Hawk's.
Yeah.
Cool.
Not too many people enjoyed the new Tony Hawk.
Masochists.
And finally, there's this 2D platformer game that we've been trying to flesh out that will be all about, you know, freedom of movement in a 2D world. Kind of a bit like Kung Fu High Impact, but also a bit like Bionic Commando.
And how would the Kinect integration work on that?
Well, I can't go into the specifics, but the idea is to give superpowers of movement to the user and a grappling hook.
Well, Joe,
that sounds very interesting.
Joe, does Rez have a Kinect?
I don't think so, but I'm
if
sure he'll get
about
one.
This concept, he'll buy one. We have a friend who Bionic Commando is one of his all-time favorite games. So I think just that phrase right there might sell a Kinect.
Cool.
And possibly an Xbox One, but he might be too dumb to realize they go together.
He's just got a Kinect sitting there in front of his TV.
The fuck do I do with this thing?
What do you turn on?
They just said I need a Kinect. Oh, man. Oh, Pappy, did you want to ask your question?
Yeah, real quick before we have to move on to other things, when you develop games, you know, obviously there's a lot of time and effort that goes into it, but do you relax and play other games, you know, in during the downtime? And if yes, what kind of games do you play?
Yes, I do play a lot of games. I don't play a lot of Kinect games because kind of has the danger of giving you tunnel vision. You start focusing on the details and doing stuff just a little bit differently than the competition. But I'm a long-time gamer. I'm pretty much an omnivore. I like all sorts of games. I don't restrict myself to a specific genre, really. I like everything from, you know, like Civilization to Octodad and Tales from the Borderlands and The Witcher 3.
Octodad was so good.
That was like absolutely brilliant. I mean, emergent slapstick comedy.
Yeah, I never thought I'd spend 10 minutes of my life trying to get a soda box at the grocery store.
Yeah.
I just want a six-pack, come on.
That was like one of the games that I really wish I'd been in the design team myself. It was just so brilliantly designed and thought of.
Oh, man, can you imagine a game with frustration-style controls like that done on Kinect?
Yes. half of the 360 launch games for Kinect.
Oh. Oh, that's great.
Oh, yeah.
I got one more question for you.
Sure.
What are you doing for New Year's?
I'm talking with you guys.
Oh. No other plans?
It's only about 4 hours until New Year's right now, this part of the world. I think I'm just going to go pop out and watch the fireworks because there's a really big one coming up just near where I live.
Nice.
That sounds pretty nice. Yeah, I live in Las Vegas, and unfortunately there is no popping out on New Year's. At 6 p.m., they lock the entire Vegas Strip down until 3 a.m., so if you're there, you're stuck there. You cannot leave, and there's going to be about 300,000 people there.
Well,
you never escape. There is no leaving.
No, I know. I had a coworker did it last year, and they said, you know, they're like, "Well, we just thought we'd go and check it out," and then next thing I know, we're stuck there. You know, there's no hotel rooms available. The whole place is sold out. It's like we got home at 6 a.m.
I need to get to the hospital quick. You're gonna die in the strip.
No, that's pretty much it. And it's gonna be 29 degrees Fahrenheit tonight. So,
oh wow.
Yeah, so that doesn't sound fun to me.
That's what, -1 Celsius, something like that?
Yeah, roughly.
That's pretty mild.
Well, okay.
To someone in Finland.
Let me see. Let me go to the Google here.
Probably around 30 Celsius, 25, 30 Celsius.
I want Celsius to Fahrenheit, not Celsius to Kelvin.
Why not? Kelvin scale works too.
Our average summer temperature in Vegas is 43 degrees Celsius. So
what?
-1 is a little weird.
What? 43?
Yeah, 110 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's like an absolute heat wave.
Yeah. I couldn't survive. And now imagine that for 110 days straight.
We actually
or
had the
43 Celsius days straight.
That's insane.
Dan, I see what you did there, Joe, and I hate you.
I hate myself.
Yeah. This is American ingenuity, though. We decided we found the high desert. We found a little valley in it and went, it's a good place to put up a gambling mecca.
Good enough. We'll stay here. There's no water anywhere.
Air conditioning.
Oh, thank God for air conditioning. Yeah. My electric bill in the winter is like $30, and in the summer it's $150.
Jeez. You need a PlayStation 4 in the winter. That'll heat things up for you.
Turn off my electricity. Yeah.
So is there any chance that Virtual Air Guitar does any PlayStation releases, or are you guys sticking with Xbox?
At the moment, we don't have PS4 dev kits.
Yeah.
Those are kind of expensive, so...
I've heard that. You're not the first dev to say that, hey, we could, but we don't want to buy the dev kits.
Yeah, and not to mention, it's a new platform that we need to learn, and we have to keep cranking out 2 games a year, and we just can't afford to learn a new platform in that time.
Well, given that we are fans of the Xbox on SML, we thank you for being Xbox developers, and I personally thank you for giving me more reasons to keep my Kinect dusted off and used consistently.
You are very welcome.
I'm not sure if you want to hang around with us for the rest of the show, or you are more than welcome to go to enjoying your New Year's Eve instead of talking to some nerds on the internet.
Yeah, we're just going to talk about like what games we played and stuff like that and some news now. We actually have listeners for some reason actually want to hear that stuff.
Yeah, I still don't believe them.
I think Aki just left after all.
Maybe. You still there?
Something happened over there.
Are things breaking? Are you okay?
Blink once for yes.
That's not you, Pappy, is it?
No, it's not. I'm watching his thing is doing the... You know, when you look on Skype and whoever's talking, it's surrounded by blue.
Where do we go from here?
Well, now that we have a ghost.
That was interesting.
I don't know what happened, but it was worth it. I'm not going to cut that out. I'm too lazy.
Well, at least it happened after the interview. That was actually a pretty good time, when you consider it.
Well, again, thanks for coming on with us, and we will let you enjoy your New Year's. And do you have any final words to give our listeners?
Become the Beat Ninja.
Yes, and buy it. It is on sale now for $9.99. And then get the 2-pack for $7.50 before it goes off sale.
Hey, take care, Aki. Cool. Happy New Year.
Thanks.
Have a good one. Thanks for joining us.
Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
And now I'm stuck with Joe.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I'm holding in a poop.
I'm going to make you hold it.
You, first off, let's get the stuff out of the way I can't join in on. You had a bunch of PlayStation Plus stuff to cover today.
I was just going to talk about what the January games are going to be.
Okay.
Like, I didn't have a bunch of games to talk about. It's just, you know, we cover the games with gold every month. I figure we should cover the PlayStation Plus lineup as well.
Okay.
So, January PlayStation Plus lineup has been announced. And I think easily the PS3 lineup is the best of the consoles. And it seems everybody on the PlayStation forums agrees. Every month it seems that PlayStation people are getting more and more pissed off at their so-called free game lineup from Sony.
Still free, though.
I know, but considering the stuff that they used to have...
Is it maybe just the grass is greener and people are like, why did I buy a PS4 when I could have had all these good PS3 things and save money?
No, I think it's just... people aren't happy with PlayStation Plus. They used to put out all these really, really good indies and brand new releases. And, you know, there was the month with Rocket League. And now, like, this month, PlayStation 3 gets Dragon Age Origins. Not even, like, the second one. The very first Dragon Age Origins. And then Ooh. Medal of Honor Warfighter.
I don't even know what that is.
Decent games. Nothing to write home about. They're old, obviously. The Vita gets Nyalumbra, which I never heard of, so I'm guessing it's a new release. And then Legends of War Patton, which I didn't know was a fucking game.
Actually, Nyalumbra looks kind of nice.
I never heard of it. I didn't have time to look it up, but the fact that a game called...
I just drowned you out with music. it was an iPad game.
Ah.
That blends Limbo with Portal 2.
Interesting.
All right, I'm going mute and I'm just going to see.
But
no, it's nice. Yeah, it's got that. It's black and white like Limbo, and then you jump and figure out puzzles and stuff by swiping. So it's definitely an iPad game. I wonder how it's going to convert to the
Vita. The Vita that has a touchscreen.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm tardy. Sorry. Okay, no, actually, this looks like a really nice game. I think if people were whining about this one, they haven't played it yet.
Well, it's very possible that it's a new release, so...
Yeah.
And then Legends of War Patton, which, again, I had no idea it existed. I saw the title, I'm like, is this a new game? And I looked it up, and it's like, nope, it's from 2014 or something. I'm like, wow,
it's from 2003.
I had no idea this game existed. I'm going to go back to not caring about it.
So you're actually General Patton in World War II?
Something like that. I don't give a fuck. And then the PS4 games, decent titles, but people aren't too pleased with them. Hardware Rivals, I think, is a car combat game that people have said it's not that good to begin with. It's just mediocrity. And then the other one, Grim Fandango Remastered, some people are excited about it because, hey, it's Grim Fandango.
Yeah.
But a lot of people either already bought it since they just recently had it on sale, or people are like, listen, I get that they're good games, but this is the fourth month in a row that we get a fucking adventure game as one of our free games, and it's getting kind of boring.
That's fair.
And then that game is also on the Vita as well. But... people don't seem too pleased.
Well, too bad. What's the new games for the Xboxes?
Oh, goddamn, I'm going to have to look it up. We talked about it last week, I think.
Did we? I don't remember. Probably. Last week was 9 days ago. That was weird.
I'm trying to think. I know the 360, I believe, has Deus Ex, Human Revolution, and Dirt Showdown. And then, where the fuck is the list?
Where's the
Games
list?
Of Gold, January 2016. Here we go. And then the Xbox One has Zeroes, which is a brand new game. And Killer Instinct Season 1 Ultimate Edition.
That's right. Yeah, we did talk about this because Chris went off on a rant.
And I apparently said something to make my TV make noise.
I didn't set my Xbox to turn on when you say Xbox on, so I can diss it all I want right now while everything's off.
Well, no, mine's just on. I apparently said something to make it watch FX.
Yeah, no, it's funny when you, I leave my Xbox on, I do this show, some of the stuff that I say that it interprets, you know, well, can't go to stars from here. I'm like, I said, fuck off. I don't know how you got Xbox go to stars out of that.
Nice. Yeah, I honestly think between the two systems or the two platforms that Xbox has a better free game lineup, just mainly based on Dirt Showdown and Deus Ex. I don't know how good Zeroes is, since it's a new release.
Just Deus Ex alone. If you haven't played that game, yeah. Here, congratulations. Here's 100 hours of your life gone.
Yeah, I'm personally excited for Zeroes because it's a brand new game. And I will always be happy about brand new games because that guarantees I didn't buy it. And then I think Killer Instinct Season 1 Ultra Edition is an awesome, awesome addition, because even if you may have had the Season 1 characters or you bought a few of the characters, you get all the characters, all the additional outfits and costumes, plus you get the arcade version of the original Killer Instinct.
Yeah, but it's still Killer Instinct, and I'm terrible at it.
Which you can't buy separately, so I think that's cool.
Yeah, I don't argue that. If that's your thing, and for some reason you haven't done it yet, or like you know, you said you just piecemealed a couple of your favorite characters.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So, featured games for the week. For this episode.
Beatsplosion.
Yeah, Beatsplosion. We talked about that. I believe I'm wrong. I think Beatsplosion is $12.99 instead of $9.99. But the others
fun.
Were $10.
Definitely a little bit of more of an upper body workout than a lower. Definitely.
Oh God, yeah.
Your shoulders. If you haven't been doing any kickboxing or anything like that lately, or any MMA exercises, your shoulders are going to be a little sore. I mean, you know, just because the heart, the Kinect can tell if you're half-ass punching or if you're actually giving it a go.
Yeah. And if you're just like, eh, it's going to say, okay,
yeah,
instead of just right, and the thing fucking explodes.
Yeah, so it is a good shoulder workout, but, you know, the only downside is the delay. If you don't have a gaming TV, you're going to have to kind of adjust yourself to swing in a little early. But even if you're missing a little bit, it's fun to go on the beat. I did the first three levels. It's something stupid, like I need 15,000 points to unlock the next belt. And I'm at like 14,800 or something like that. So I just have to go play one. I have to go replay one level to unlock the next three.
Yeah, I did. I got the first two belts, and then it was like you need 15,000 to open green belt. So I'm like, well, I did those six stages. Fuck it, I'm gonna try a 20-minute challenge.
Oh, yeah, I didn't do the 20. I did the random, but I didn't do a 20-minute.
Yeah, I did a 20-minute challenge, and I got a 95% on it.
Nice.
So I was excited about that.
And then you died, and now you're a ghost.
And then Chris came in, and he's like, what the fuck are you playing? I'm like, you're going to play it now.
Nice.
It's good stuff. If you own a Kinect, there is no reason to not pick up this game.
Yeah, I do want to unlock more levels to get to the faster beats, honestly.
Yeah, and awesome enough is that Aki hooked us up with three songs from the game to play at the end of the show, which the soundtrack is not available to buy anywhere. So
Sweet. Unless
you own the game, we're the only place you're going to hear these songs.
And if you want, you know, to do this old school, get your tape recorder up and hold it next to your computer when we play the music so you can record it and then play it in the car.
I should put like commercials at the end of them, like find some 80s commercials.
I'm sure you can find the Rita's commercial.
Oh God.
And then the Jared Diamonds or yeah.
Was it Jared Diamonds? Kiefer's. Oh, that's, yeah. Kiefer's Army Navy.
Yeah, on Monday Street. Fuck.
On Mondays. Oh,
yeah. Anyhow, yeah, what's the other game?
next game to discuss is called G Prime Into the Rain. It is developed and published by Soma Games, and it releases on January 6th. I don't have the console pricing yet, but it costs $9.99 on PC, so I would imagine it's somewhere in that ballpark, maybe $12.99.
All right, here's the thing with this game. When you look at it and you do the tutorial and stuff, you go, oh, it's just harder Angry Birds. It's a game where you have to fire yourself out of a cannon, more or less, you know, and trace your trajectory across the screen and drop... little balls to inspect the outer space or whatever.
Yeah. And then the second stage hits, and you realize that gravity is going to ruin your day.
And also, I mean, difficulty, it's high. It is a challenging game. I honestly think I would have done a lot better if I had it on, like, an iPad or a touchscreen of some sort.
I have a handful of issues, and I actually already talked with the developers about them. One of my biggest issues is once you shoot the rocket,
it zooms in,
and yep. Trying to look around the map is incredibly difficult to do and not get lost.
Yeah, you almost have to memorize the map before you fire.
Well, it's not just that, because once you start moving, gravity is going to pull you, and you can use the analog stick to look around you,
but
you
so
just
much.
Get lost.
Yeah, no, that was my issue.
And they said lost. That they're going to look into possibly adding an extent, like a faraway camera, like the same camera from the beginning of the stage.
Yeah.
That they might add that camera to use during the actual stages. Which
yeah, I would default to that in a heartbeat.
I think would make the game much, much easier to play. I think the game itself is a lot of fun and really addictive, trying to get a perfect line and trying to get a perfect run to hit all the different things you need to hit. And doing it all in one shot always feels great. But that led me to my second issue that I talked to him about, is how frequently the game would auto-record video clips.
Yeah, it's almost like it was just a function built into it. Like every time you succeeded, it recorded it.
Yeah, it seemed like every time you had a perfect run, it would record it. And I told them, like, listen, this isn't a feature that bothers me, but there's a lot of people out there who hate auto. God damn it, Potato, stop rubbing your face up against the...
A lot of people who hate Potato.
Pretty much.
Oh, Potato.
I have a new mic stand where it hangs in front of the desk, and she decided, oh, I'm going to jump up on the desk and rub my face on it, which means that she comes up, rubs the microphone, and it does this. And then I'm just talking off to the side where the microphone is, and I have to move back over here.
The game itself is fun and challenging, and it's kind of a nice concept, and I liked.
And it's
I
unique.
Really like the
it is
concept.
Different. It is not like something already out there.
And the zooming in is what destroyed me. I did not get very far in the game because I just got that. And the personal issue is I kept mixing up the button controls. So I'd fire my boosters at the wrong moment instead of dropping the probe or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I will say that I wish they made things a little more clear in the game of like what you can do. What there is to, like, even when it's on the main, like, ship hub area, trying to remember what the hell I'm supposed to hit to open up the options menu, I wish it was a little easier to understand everything that you can do in the game.
Yeah.
Although
there's a lot to do in the game.
Yeah, and I do like the one area where I believe it's either up or down on the D-pad. It opens up. Most people would think that they're like advertisements or something, but there's a screen that says these are not advertisements. These are just like projects or products or stuff that we like and we believe in. And it's basically like free shout outs to friends' games or friends' projects or websites. I think that's a cool idea.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
My goal in life is to get in one of those in a game.
Here's a product that we can't stand. Joe
See,
Cam.
I would normally be like, hey, how do we get involved in that? But then I realized that they are a team of Christian developers. Like, they go out of their way to say that they are not a Christian game company.
But they're all
they're just developers who are devout Christians, which, cool. I just don't think they should associate with us.
Yeah. That's a quick route to eternal damnation
yes.
right there.
And when I swapped emails and like, hey, we checked out the show. We'd love to come on sometime. I'm like, oh my God, we're going to have to not curse.
That would be our second not swearing episode ever.
No, we've sworn on basically every episode ever.
Well, I'm saying, the one interview we did, remember?
Yeah, the one interview, but the episode we still cursed.
Well, so the poor guy had to edit.
Like
he had to cut the end of the interview to show it to his friends.
Like, with this episode, I wouldn't feel comfortable cursing at all. Like, even after the interview, because maybe they'll still be listening.
Whale shit.
Yeah. Whale shit? What about whale shit?
Whale shit.
Dale shit. Dale North shit. Next, well, G Prime, what do you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Honestly, it depends on who you are as a gamer. If you like I don't want to keep saying Angry Birds, but that style challenge of having to figure out the perfect route across the map, you know, then this is definitely your thing. But I personally would like to see some kinks ironed out first. I'd happily play it myself if I could have that zoomed out screen.
Yeah, which hopefully they do add, because I said that was probably my biggest issue with the game. If they find a way to make it, it's not the difficulty that bothered me, it's the disorientation.
Yeah, but the disorientation is what caused it to be impossible.
It leads to the difficulty, but it's just because when you have the factors of all the different gravitational pulls that you can have in certain stages, it gets to be too much and you just get lost.
Dude, I failed the second stage like 7 times in a row.
That's because you're a bad gamer.
Yeah.
Like,
next game.
Really bad. Next game is something else that you would be incredibly bad at. It is called Lovely Planet. It is developed...
I thought you were going to say Life.
Yes. It is developed by Quick Tequila and published by Tiny Build Games.
Tiny Build guys.
Tiny Build, also known as the guys from No Time to Explain. This game releases January 8th for $9.99. I believe it's already available on the Wii U.
That's my birthday.
It is a first-person shooter that is stage-based.
And adorable.
And heavily based around speedrunning and accuracy.
Yeah, I'll be really bad at it, but it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, this is the most Japanese game I've ever seen come from someone who's not Japanese.
Yeah.
let me see if I could pull up the developer's name here. No.
It's such an amazing change. Like, you know, developers are always talking about, after our last game, we want to go in a different direction. This is a different direction when you compare it to No Time to Explain.
Well, this isn't developed by Tiny Build. It's published by Tiny Build.
Oh, okay.
It's developed by Quick Tequila, which is basically just one guy named, I'm probably butchering this, but Vidvat Madan.
Oh, that's totally Japanese.
He is from India, but is right now residing in Austin, Texas. And this is the most Japanese game I have ever seen. It is.
I love the internationality of it. A gentleman from India is living in Texas and making a Japanese style game.
Like, there's Japanese text everywhere in the game. It's super, super blocky and bright colored visuals. Like, even your gun and your arm, it's like a stick arm with a hand there. It is.
I don't know why. I thought I compared the visuals to like Katamari.
Yeah. I got the same feeling because it's just so incredibly Asian.
Well, it's just a happy, blocky comparison, too.
Yeah. And it's not Asian at all.
Well, India is in Asia. I mean, if you want to get technical there.
The game basically comes down to short stage-based first-person shooter sequences where you go from the beginning to the end. You have to shoot all the enemies. You have to survive. And you have to do it fast and accurate. You get 1 star for beating a stage. You get 1 star for beating a stage in a set time. And you get a 3rd star for having 100% accuracy.
Holy shit. Well, I guess I'll never get 3 stars.
So getting all 3 stars on every stage in the game is going to require skill and patience.
Two things I don't have.
Which we know for a fact Shiz Blacka may never get.
Patience part.
The game itself is fantastic. The music is gloriously happy. I couldn't stop smiling while playing it. It's one of those games that it's just you're happy playing it, no matter how frustrated you get. Like on the one fucking stage where I needed to beat it in like 19.04, and I kept doing it in like 19.08 multiple times, because I'm the guy.
We're talking 19.08 seconds.
Yes. It's like 0.04 seconds off.
Can I get a negative star for finishing that level in 40 minutes? This game will uninstall itself from your Xbox.
It is not an easy game, I will say that. And the achievements, they are not very liberal with their achievements either, since most of them come down to getting 3 stars in every stage in a world.
I'd say, though, a skill-based speedrun game coming out on Xbox, I have a feeling this is going to be pretty big in the Twitch community here next month.
Probably. Skill-based first-person shooter Twitch-style game.
It's almost like this game was built for Twitch.
Kind of. It's so good, though. It was, no matter how frustrated I would get with a stage, I kept trying it and trying it because it was fun. It was just so enjoyable, and it's very, God, I can't think of the term.
Sugoi.
Huh?
Sorry, Japanese. It was very sugoi.
Trial and error, that's what it is. Like, you go through an area, and this dude shoots you, so you're like, I gotta remember to shoot him before he shoots me. So you do it again, you shoot him, you move on, and, like, an apple gets thrown at you, and you... Like, if you either need to destroy that apple that flies at you, because if it hits the ground, it counts as a death.
Jesus.
Yeah. Luckily, there's no set number of lives. It's just if you die, you start the stage over. But it's really, really, really good stuff. I'm glad that we were able to check it out, and I'm hoping to get him on the show sometime. God knows that this is a horrible time to schedule interviews with Christmas and New Year's and everything else. So hopefully sometime in 2016 we'll be able to get him on.
No, I mean, technically this show is going to be the first one of 2016, isn't it?
No, this one I'll probably put up later today.
Okay.
This will be the New Year's Eve show, and then tomorrow will be the harmonics episode.
Happy 2015 is dead, everybody.
Yay, murder 2015. Fourth game is the title Clash. It is developed and published by Fennec Fox Entertainment, and it was originally released back in August 21st for $8.49 on the Xbox One. I believe it's also on PS4. I don't remember for sure. Not that I care. It is one of those four-player battle arena-style games. The bottom of the screen wraps around to the top, so you could just fall through. Makes it more tactical with trying to evade attacks or get attacks. There's a handful of different modes where, like a King of the Mountain area where you have to stay in highlighted areas. There's deathmatch, there's team deathmatch, and then I think the most popular one is a crystal collecting mode where every time you kill someone, they drop a crystal, and you have to pick them up and deposit them in these glowing areas, and you could set it to be like, you know, get 5 crystals, 10, up to like 70 or 100 crystals to end the game. The game will also end. You can get an automatic victory if you cash in 10 crystals at once, which is the max that you can hold at one time.
Ah, but you're running around with them and risking losing them all at death.
Yeah, because if you get, it's a one-hit kill. So if you get hit, all those crystals go flying Sonic the Hedgehog style.
Nice. Yeah, I will say that looking up this game brought about the weirdest YouTube video I've ever seen in my life.
Do tell.
Because I just, you know, because I didn't have the game, I just Googled, you know, Clash and went to YouTube. And
to be fair, I did offer you a code, but you said, given the fact that there really is no single player style, that it wouldn't really work for you.
Yeah.
So,
but I watched, I clicked on a video because it was like, oh, Clash gameplay. And it was 30 minutes of Clash gameplay, and that's it.
Okay.
There was no people. It was just 30 minutes of the game being played, it wasn't a Let's Play style. There was no voice. There was no nothing. It was just 30 minutes of some dude playing Clash.
Nice.
And that's what was weird, because in this day and age, I'm so used to, oh, hey, here's some gameplay, and I'm going to get, you know, a guy playing with his buddies. They're going to be talking shit, or, you know, someone's going to be explaining the game, but just nothing. Just gameplay.
Talk shit, get hit.
It was just so weird seeing just absolute silence other than the sound effects of the game. I honestly, because that's what threw me off, because I'm watching it for a second. I'm like, wait, nobody introduced the show. You know, nobody said, hey, you know, I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm playing Clash with my friends. Just want to show you guys a little bit of what it's about. You know, nothing. Just start, fight, over. Okay, what the fuck?
Nice. I enjoyed the game. It is one of those games where it's clearly not for everyone. You need friends for this game. I think there's two groups of people that are going to get this game. One is people who have groups of friends that you're going to make a weekly thing or a daily thing and just get together, play the game, and have fun, because it's a fun, stupid, open arena, beat the shit out of each other kind of game, and it's a lot of fun. The other group of people, this game has gained an insane amount of notoriety because it is one of the easiest games to perfect achievement-wise on the console. There are people who can get 1,000 out of 1,000 in like a half hour. I mean, if you get the game and you go into it solely to get the achievements, you are clearly missing the point of what video games are. But I'm not going to fault you if that's what you do. If that's what makes you happy, that's what makes you happy. I think the game's a lot of fun. I wish there was more to it. I wish they had like bots you could play against, or an online mode, or challenges, or something just to extend it for single player style gamers. But I think a lot of people are going to get this just for the achievements. And I'm not going to say you're doing it wrong, but hey, whatever makes you happy, I guess.
It's more of a, oh, well, that's a shame.
Yeah, you're missing out on an entertaining game if the only thing you're doing is getting achievements.
Yeah. The only thing I ever do is get achievements.
But if you are interested, if you are interested in seeing what the game is about, we do have a code for the game to give away, as well as we have a code for G Prime. And we're still sitting on a couple of IDARB codes, too, because Mike Micah is our sugar daddy who gives us codes.
Yeah.
One final game to discuss this week. I am excited that we got this one. It is Trine 3 Artifacts of Power, developed and published by Frozen Byte. We got the PS4 version of the game. I believe
so
it is.
So by we mean you, because you're the one with the PS4.
Yes, I got the PS4 version of the game. Hey, you always tell me to make things pluralized. Like,
well, I meant with the tweets, you pluralize as the company. But, you know, when we're talking with the show, just be honest. Like, I have the PS4, so I played this game.
Our show got the PS4 version of Trine 3 Artifacts of Power.
And JoeCam was voted the guy to try it.
I traded multiple emails with the awesome Joel of Frozen Byte, encouraging and inquiring about Xbox versions of the game. They said that it is something they are considering, but it will require taking programmers away from other stuff. It's not off the table. They said, let's see how Trine 3 does on the PS4, and maybe it'll make its way to the Xbox One, which my fingers are crossed. The game, if you've never played Trine, it's basically action RPG style game with puzzles, collectibles. The original games were on a 2D plane. The third game jumps into the 3D plane, and not just that, but it also has like really, really, really good 3D support, like legit put the glasses on 3D support. Fucking awesome to play in 3D.
I believe it.
Like there were like ashes or snowflakes or something falling in the one stage, and they would like come right up into the camera, and I'm like, oh my God, that's so fucking cool.
It was dandruff.
Possibly. It was my own dandruff. In the one email that we traded back and forth, Jill said, very interested to hear what you think of Trine 3. It's got some flaws, but how they affect the experience varies a lot from player to player. In my full honesty, I responded back, it's like the only flaw I am finding in this game is that I can't play it on my Xbox One.
Nice.
The game is absolutely fantastic. It doesn't seem like there's going to be a lot of replayability, and the length could be kind of short, but it is only a $22 game. So it's not like it's a $60 game. It's fun. And that's what so many games miss nowadays, is just fun. It encouraged me to, anytime I would finish a stage, if I didn't get all the collectibles are called trinangles, like triangles, but trine. They made it super, super easy to go back in, because they have the when you go to enter it, they have the stage screen split up by the checkpoints in the game, and each checkpoint has its own number of how many trinangles are there and how many you got. So it's not like you have to go back into a stage and hope to God you can find this one fucking thing you missed. You just got to go into one section and hope you can find out where the one fucking thing you missed is.
Interesting.
It is good. It is super, super good. I am hoping in 2016 we might be able to get someone from Frozenbyte on the show, and then I will once again hammer them about getting these games onto the Xbox One.
Here's the question. As we've encountered this again today with our earlier interview, with the differences in dev kits and support, do you think that indie games are going to have to pick and choose one or the other more and more now?
I don't, mainly because of how much easier it is to develop between the two systems than they were before.
Yeah, but also the dev support too. This isn't the first time that we've had a guest state that the PlayStation dev kit costs a lot of money. Whereas we've had more than one person be like, oh yeah, Xbox gave us a dev kit.
Well, that works both ways as well. There's a lot of developers out there who are like, yeah, Sony just gave us these dev kits so that we could work with them. It comes down to the developer and the game.
Yeah, but I feel like that's the company going, oh, we want this on our platform, so let's make it easy for them, which therefore makes it harder for them to develop on the other platform.
Yeah, well, again, I explicitly asked if this was about the whole parity clause and things like that. They said there is... Where is it? Regarding Xbox, the parity probably isn't a huge issue. It's more that doing an Xbox One tech port basically takes our top programmers, and that's time away from other things. But we're still holding out hope and don't want to push too much for trying to backward compatibility, because the 360 version is so older and slower, we'd rather have the full 1080p, 60 frame per second, trying to complete story for new players.
Okay.
Breaking news, bitches.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I honestly hope that after trying three releases and things settle down, that they look into bringing the whole trilogy over to the Xbox One. Because Trine 2 is available on 360. And I even said, you know, if it came down to having no Trine at all, or just the original Trine 2 via backward compatibility program, I'd at least want just Trine 2 so I could play Trine on the Xbox One.
What did Trine 1 release on?
PC. And then it was given the whole complete story update director cut thing, and it's now available on the PS4.
Okay. So, I was hoping you were going to say like NES.
All three games are presently available on the PS4. So again, I'm just hoping that they make the call to bring them to the Xbox One next.
It's so funny when I think about the PS4 and what games I wish I could play. Almost all of them are indie games.
Yeah. And none of them really are that they can't show up on other platforms. It's just a lot of indie devs don't have the manpower to do it.
Yeah, the only one that's a bigger game I want to try is Until Dawn. Otherwise,
well,
it's
that's
all
made
like,
by Sony.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that's why it's not. But otherwise, it's all indie games. Like, I wish I could play Rocket League on my TV instead of my PC.
You can in February.
You know what I mean, though. You know what I mean, though. Yeah, oh, it comes out for Xbox?
Yeah.
Yay.
How the fuck did you miss that news? Rocket League is coming to Xbox in like 2 months.
Oh, God, you and I get to suck at it together.
Together. Together.
Chris will have to carry us.
Together.
That's really the only option. Chris is going to have to
carry us. Together. Together.
All right, so any more news, any more games, or we got emails?
I do have some emails to go over. Let me see if I can pull it up on the computer, just because the phone app is working kind of crappily right now. Hopefully the Edge browser doesn't fuck with the recording like it did the one other time. Let me see here.
Gotta have to poop.
Roman Echeverina, if I'm not fucking up that name.
You are, but okay. Roman, what's up?
Hey, Joe, I'm not sure if you remember me, but we talked a couple months ago after you mentioned the game Yasai Ninja on your podcast. I remember last time we chatted, you mentioned that the $20 price on Yasai was a bit expensive, and I'm happy to inform you that as of today, the price has dropped on the U.S. PlayStation Store to $13.99 and down to $9.99 if you're a PlayStation Plus member. It's part of the winter holiday sale. The offer is only available until January 6th on PlayStation, but we're planning to make this a permanent price drop at some point in the future.
Damn,
so not only, again, has the developer like thanked us for covering their game, but he went out of his way to email us to let us know that the one thing that we mentioned they should take a look at, they're going to take a look at.
Yeah, that's awesome. So do you think $14 or even $10 is perfect price point for this game?
I think $10 is an awesome price point for the game. $13.99, still a little bit on the high end, but I think as long as they keep working on it and if they're putting out more patches for the game, it's one of those fuck it, give it a shot kind of games.
Yeah, I mean that's exactly what it is though. It's you had said the game had some flaws but also had some really good stuff, and it was constantly being updated and patched to become a better and better game.
Yeah. Just the fact that, again, not only did they contact us, they were cool enough to listen to our feedback, appreciate our honest feedback, but they are continuing to contact us and let us know that they're working on things. I have trust that these guys are, they might not make it the perfect game in the world, but they're going to work on it and make it better. One of the emails we got regarding it from another listener mentioned a Toro, their previous game, Toro, an achievement in there was broken. And Roman also mentioned that they're aiming to have that patched early 2016. So even though it's an older game of theirs, and that one was absolutely destroyed by critics, they're still trying to make it better. You know, if you drop the $14, it doesn't mean you're going to get a perfect game. You might not even think it's a great game. You're going to get a decent, serviceable game from developers who are trying and working hard to make their game better and as good as they can.
So they're already a better team than Ubisoft.
Yeah, and I will take that. I will support a developer who is listening, who is communicating, and who is trying, and then someone who releases a game and says, fuck you, I'm not going to fix anything. I think it's good enough.
Like those Albanian terrorists.
Goddamn terrorists. he also mentioned that they are doing a Yasai Ninja giveaway contest. Everyone can participate, and the prize is free downloadable codes for Yasai Ninja on any chosen platform. You can hit up the Rico Technology Facebook or Twitter page for information on that. So it is awesome to hear from them, and I am excited that they are still working on things.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then we have one more email from Jordan Phipps. He goes by Jordan650 on Twitter and Twitch, who is one of our newer listeners. So thank you for being a part of our show. Hey, quick question for you guys. Who is the one indie developer you'd love to interview on the podcast that hasn't yet?
Huh.
I want the dudes from Binding of Isaac. Or fucking someone from Way Forward. Get Matt Bozon on here.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Or shit, if we're going like true indie, I want goddamn Tim Schafer on here. He's still indie. Tim Schafer.
Is Behemoth count as indie still?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind asking them about their
games.
That'd
be cool. We want the Behemoth guys on here. We want Everyone.
I want everyone.
How insane would it be if Tim Schafer came on here?
Our listenership would quadruple.
To like at least 8. It'd be 20. Nuts.
Honey, come on. We got 5 regulars. No, we joke about listenership, but it's obvious that more and more people are tuning into this show, and that's awesome.
Yeah, especially when I emailed a developer asking, hey, I'm interested in possibly covering your game on our show. And
Here's the goal for 2016. We've monetized a little bit. Hopefully by the end of 2016, Joe will get his first $5 check.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. But I interview someone to come on, and they're like, I'm gonna get in touch with my publisher to see if we could get you some review codes. I don't have access to the codes right now, but sure, I've listened to SML. I'd love to be on it. I'll also CC my other designer and see if she wants to come on too. The fact that a developer of a game that I am interested in and would like to cover on our show said that he's listened to us. I don't know if he's just being polite to us.
And wants to also bring in another victim.
Or if he's serious, that makes my heart a flutter.
I feel like enough developers have been honest with us, like, oh, I've never heard of your show, but I'll be on.
Yeah.
That if this guy said, hey, I've listened, I believe him.
Poor bastard.
Yeah, but still, nah, I appreciate it. But that's what it is, man. Like, we've had a lot of people on our show in the last couple of months.
We have.
And a lot of, I mean, I'd say this show, like, our target audience now is gamers who are legitimately interested in how things work and people who are just interested in the indie world and maybe even getting started themselves. You can learn more from our podcast than I think you can from a lot of web searches now.
And developers who need to practice for more serious interviews.
Yeah. You need to get your swearing out of the way or your nervousness. Come on, our show.
Funny enough, the last harmonics interview we did with Allie and Cian and Josh and Chris, it was supposed to just be me and Allie. And she's like, do you care if I bring on some of the newer people at the company? This will give them some real world experience. And I'm like, as long as they know what they're getting into.
So they got drunk?
No, unfortunately. And then we're going to have Nick Mudry on as well to talk about Amplitude.
We definitely have. We need to find some other developers willing to do another drunk cast.
Oh, that'd be amazing! I told Nick to make sure he brings his alcohol for New Year's on.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, he messaged me earlier today. He's like, "Hey, I'm silly. He messaged me yesterday. He's like, "Hey, I'm silly. Tomorrow's New Year's Eve. How long am I going to be on the podcast for?" So I was like, you know, we usually devote an hour or so to the interviews. You're welcome to stick along however long you want. Some people have done a half hour. Others have stuck around the whole show. Whatever you want to do works for us. And he said, I'm good for however long you want to do an interview. So I said, fuck it. 4 hours. We're celebrating New Year's together.
Welcome to the slog cast.
I think that would be fun.
I mean, I can't argue that, but...
Yeah, there's no way I'm doing it. We don't have enough to talk about for 4 hours.
Because we're talking about it now.
Yeah. I mean, we're creeping up on 2 now. So we might as well wrap things up.
I can always go to an Asian massage parlor in between, and that'll give me like a 20-minute story.
Go during the show.
I'm reporting here from a police raid. I'll talk to you guys later.
What's up? This is Pappy reporting live from Happy Hightown. Mid Ching Chong Cafe.
There's a really shady place. It's just called Massage. That's it. There's another one called 21 Massage.
Just massage.
I'm going to go get a massage. Where? Massage. Anyhow, what have you been playing, Joe?
Oh, man. I have been playing way too much shit. I've actually been getting really into Binding of Isaac again. Just because Mike said that he might be able to get Tyrone to do our show, I figure I should play that a whole lot more because I have not played it enough and I've been having a lot of fun with it. I hit level 90 in Gems of War.
Jesus.
So I am creeping up on that level 100 achievement. Maybe I'll hit level 100 before anyone from there comes on our show, which I've been trying to set up. I've been playing Trine 3 like crazy. Yeah, I have been playing a PS4 game like crazy because Trine 3 is that good. Trying to think what else I've played. I fired up Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel, if I have the name right, just came out for PS3 and the Vita. I picked up the Vita version. Awesome RPG. God, what the hell else? A couple of games here and there. I need to get back into Fallout. That's what I need to do.
I glitched Fallout again. That was fun.
What'd you do?
I fought a Mire Orc, and when I killed it, it just sunk into the ground. Nice. It literally was like, I must go. My planet needs me. And just instead of going up, it went down.
Good times.
It was a little creepy.
I figure if there's anything else that we need to talk about, we could always do it with Nick later tonight since we're doing two episodes today.
Yeah, I got one other game to talk about. Otherwise, I'm good.
All right. So to finish up this episode, hey, Chris, what have you been playing?
Oh, and good night. Happy New Year. Gonna let this keep going, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna go take a shit now.